the building. What really got me was the sign over the auditorium door. Enter to learn and depart to serve.
Hello and welcome to Community History 365. Here we tell stories from Johnson City's rich multicultural history, stories you've probably never heard. I'm Karen Sullivan. I've been a transplant here for 30 plus years, and it is my honor to be your host.
I'll tell you what I did not ask for any of my virgins, any students, any better than what I got. And what made me so, good, is because they knew me, the families knew me, because I'm a hometown girl. They knew me, and they knew that if I didn't do right, the parents would get a hold of me.
That was Callie Redd speaking to a crowd of people in the Langston Center Auditorium. She reminded them of the values that brought them to Langston High School in the first place. Enter to learn, depart to serve. Callie Redd, or Sister Redd, was one of the last remaining teachers of Langston High School. She passed away on July 12, 2025. Since then, we've been asking people what she was like. Today, you get to hear their answers. We hope this episode will honor the memory of Miss Callie Redd and all the ways she poured into the Langston community. Stick around. Let's have a quick recap. In this first season, we've heard a lot about Langston. We learned some history about the Langston Building and about its founder, Hezekiah Hankel.
The alumni of the school are trying to figure out how to save the space. And through LEED, they began to articulate that the school meant more to them than just the bricks and mortar. This was a safe space to really be encouraged, to be uplifted.
This man was smart. He was well-educated, voicing advocacy for our city has a need for a facility. We can't keep using just other facility, church facilities, Oddfellows Halls, neighbor lady's home to teach our young people. We need a school for it. Stage by stage, difficulties to be overcome, you know. I'm sure that he was thrilled. This to him obviously was a fulfillment of what he had worked on, one of the things he had worked on so long and hard.
We heard about playing sports at Langston and playing in the band.
Ready, set, go.
We've heard about alumni like Mildred Ellis and Johnny Russaw who went on to break color barriers in sports and music. None of this could have happened without the teachers. They worked every day to instill excellence and respect and service into their students. They were there every day, working to care for the students and teach them excellence. Today, we honor all that hard work with a special focus on Callie Redd. We'll hear her story from the voices of those she served. She brightened the days of a lot of people.
Oh, she was wonderful.
Oh, yeah.
You could go to her with anything, any kind of problem, anything.
That was Bobby Douglas. We'll hear from her and Jenny Jackson. They were in the last episode when we learned about the Golden Tigerettes, Langston's women's basketball team.
Yeah, we did it.
Emma went on our basketball trips. She was like us.
Yeah.
We laughed, she laughed.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was just fun.
Was
she,
good.
She was sweet.
She was good.
She was real sweet, but she could be stern, too.
Yeah, She knew. We knew how far to go. And in my class, they had the World's Fair in New York that was in 1964 and 65. So she escorted the 64 high school class, the senior high school class, and she also went with us in the 1965 class. We went to New York. We went to D.C. visited DC, did tour DC area. Then we went on to New York. We weren't bad, but we gave our run for our money. But we knew how far we could go, and we didn't. We only went that far. We never went overboard with our discipline. And we stayed in a hotel in New York, and it was fun. We got to ride the subway. Some of us, you know, never rode the subway. We almost lost a boy, one of our classmates, because he walking too slow, and you know the doors go, they close. Bobby Baker.
Oh.
I never will forget that. We almost lost him, and I mean, it was just fun. Those are the things that I remember. And some of the other things, like I guess what monuments and stuff like that we saw, I could care less. The fun that I had with my classmates was the best, you know. And we'd all would gather in one of us rooms and just have a good time, you know. We didn't make a lot of noise. We didn't have alcohol. We didn't have any alcohol, none, that I know of. If we had any, it was the boys that had it. We knew how far to go. We knew how far to go with her. We knew
we
she
didn't
was.
Do that with
we
any
knew
of our
no,
teachers.
No, no. And they said, "Don't." They gave you the look. Don't try me.
Yeah.
Don't try me. You know, I'm the teacher. And we had that rule that whatever you did at school before you got home from school, your mamas knew about it. I don't know how.
I don't either.
I don't know how, but they did. If you did anything, and you get home and then your mama start asking you such and such, I said,
don't lie.
Yeah, don't lie. It's like, how'd you find that out? You know.
You know, there isn't much I wouldn't do for Miss Red. I have to work to say Red because I'm just not used to it.
This is Charles Crow, and he was Callie's student when she was still Callie Gillespie. Callie Red was not always Callie Red. We'll get back around to that. Charles and Bobby and Jenny were in class with her in the 60s when she had recently graduated from college. Charles said he wanted to share his memories of Callie Red, so we scheduled a call with him.
I'm not a last-minute person. You know, it's just like... And you said you wanted to do this. I wrote it down on the calendar, and I've made sure I was going to have everything ready for today. Because I'm not good at, I never have been good, and probably because I was a slow reader. I've never been good at last-minute stuff.
Charles was a junior in high school when Ms. Gillespie taught him French and English.
It was in her class that I first found out that I was a slow reader. As I look at it now and have gone through things with, you know, with my own children, I think I did have a touch of dyslexia, but I was also, I grew up, like I said, you heard me say earlier, all I wanted to do was play. And I never... My mother was avid reader, and my dad read the newspaper every day. If I saw a book that it didn't have pictures in it, like a comic book, then I wanted no parts of it. And I never wanted to read out loud because I couldn't make it flow. And I wasn't very mature anyway during that time, and the only thing I was interested in was sports. The one thing I always knew to survive, I had to have good grades. My parents did not play about grades, and the requirement was if I wanted to play sports and anything else, do anything else, I had to have the grades first.
This isn't the first time we've heard this. Here's Johnny Russaw, former student athlete, talking about the same thing.
If you didn't make the grades back then, you didn't play football. You didn't play basketball.
I always made good grades because I knew if I didn't, I would get murdered at home. And so I paid very close attention in class. And I would read what I had to read, but that was all the reading I did. And she would always push me. And she had us reading short stories in class. And what I noticed, I began to notice that I'd get maybe a couple pages into the short story and she's ready to talk about it. And everybody else was finished. I had this feeling, I knew something wasn't right, but I was not going to disappoint her, so.
All right, we need a little bit of backstory. We already know that Charles knew Callie Redd before she was Callie Redd. But Charles also knew her before she was Ms. Gillespie. He was about 6 years old. His family lived in the neighborhood called Roan Hill. His best friend was a relative of Callie's, and he lived across the alley from Charles's house.
I always knew her as Miss Callie, and she had a sister named Bobby Jean. And I knew them as Miss Callie and Miss Bobby Jean. We played together a lot, and actually, her family, you know, was friends with my family, and she actually babysitted my sister and I a couple of times. She was older. She was in Langston at the time. Cause I remember she was in the band and my parents used to take us to downtown on Thursday nights to see the parade and we'd always see her. I mean, she was a majorette, and then they would always go to the, they used to be an annual band concert, and so we'd always see her there also. So when I was about 6 years old, I came home and announced to my mother that she and Bobby Jean were my girlfriends.
Guys, I'm sorry. I just had to laugh. I knew that's where he was going.
Well, I think it became the joke for my parents and all. They all knew about it. She knew about it, and they used to tease me, you know, about it. They would say, "You want to go with us? We've got to go up to the Gillespies, you know.
You got to go see your girlfriend."
Yeah. So I knew her all through my growing up, and I remember she was gone when she came back to college. I think when she came back from college, around the time I was just starting at Langston, and she became a teacher at Langston. You know, I credit her for one thing that made a real difference for me long-term life-wise.
So now we're back to the high school classroom. And now you know why Charles said this.
I was not going to disappoint her, so.
By that point, Charles had a long history of not wanting to disappoint Miss Callie. So.
I'd go home and read the stories at night. And I could take, because the difference was, if I read it, I remembered it. But I just read it slow. In her class, in our junior year at Langston, we would always do a research project. They taught us how to do a research paper. She did. So we had to write the paper and everything. And then she would choose the papers that she thought were good papers. And they had an oratorical contest. And my research paper I wrote, I remember it was titled A Junior Looks at Education. That's the only thing I remember about it. But I remember she said it was a good paper. So she wanted me to do the oratorical contest. I didn't want to do the oratorical contest because, one, I was never one who wanted to stand up in front of people. I was pretty shy. But she just kept pushing me. It says, as you say, you know, people who help you step out of your comfort zone often do a lot for you. Well, she pushed me way out of my comfort zone. And, you know, instead of reading it, I memorized it because I knew I couldn't read it. But I wasn't going to disappoint her. So I actually ended up doing the oratorical contest. There was no way I was going to win it because of my public speaking skills were zero. But she said, when you do this kind of a paper, you need to be able to present it. And she kept pushing me, and she made me do it.
Kelly Redd convinced him to present at the oratorical contest. She was passionate about learning and sharing that knowledge, and she led by example. She graduated from Langston High School as salutatorian when she was 16. With two scholarships to Knoxville College, she earned a degree in education and English. She then became the chairman of the English department at Langston High School. Along the way, Miss Gillespie married Sam Redd. That's when she became Callie Redd, or Mrs. Redd, or Sister Redd. There's a lot of names you can call her. When the schools were integrated, she was transferred to North Junior High School. She was a floater for all of her classes. In 1972, while teaching, Callie earned her M.A. in English. Later, she taught at Liberty Bell Middle School. In 1983, Callie was transferred to Science Hill High School. Next up, we hear from someone who taught at Science Hill with Callie Redd. We'll get to that in just a moment. Stick around. We're taking a quick break to tell you about another great local history resource. It's an email newsletter called Today in Johnson City History. Its writer, Rebecca Henderson, shares our appreciation for Johnson City history, and we want to make sure you know about her work. She's telling her readers about us, and we're telling you about her work. For each column, Rebecca spends hours researching what's happened in the past on that date. She has a vast library of local history books at her disposal, as well as numerous other resources, including conversations with friends who have lived in Johnson City all their lives. It all comes together in a column about that date in Johnson City through the years. Her favorite is what she calls the visits. She finds newspaper notes about who's visiting who, people who are sick, people getting married, the latest dating gossip, and other newspaper notes. This column gives you important context in local history, and it gives you a peek into the day-to-day lives of people decades ago. You can get Today in Johnson City History sent straight to your inbox, one post every day. Go to todayinjohnsoncityhistory.com, enter your email address, and sign up for a subscription. If you sign up for a full year, you get a discount. Or if you want to just get occasional public posts, you can sign up for free. Now, back to the story. Michelle Treese spoke at Kelly Redd's funeral about their connection. Here are more of her memories.
I did have another black teacher tell me when I first started, he said, "Don't let these people push you around."
It was 1991, and Michelle was about to start her first ever teaching job.
And the classroom that I had two doors. There was a front door, the front of the classroom, and the back door. And the back door, if I stepped out to the back door, I stepped into the English hallway. And Callie Redd was right across the hall and up one door for me. So between classes, we step outside, and obviously she's African-American, and I am too. And so she was that mentor for me as a new black teacher in the Science Hill, kind of informal. not like she was assigned by the administration. I just picked her and said, oh, gosh, help me through this. I mean, it's, you know, it's a black thing, I guess. But when you see another black person in a group of people that do not look like you, you're going to search them out. Mm-hmm. And she, luckily for me, and Science Hill's huge. She was right across the hall. I didn't have to go over there in that end. Didn't have to go down on that wing. She was right there. I had a one day in class where, you know, there's always like one or two students who can make or break a classroom. And that's that kid you're like, please be absent today. Please be absent. Just today is a good day to not be here today, right? And so, you know, I had a day where this kid's here and it's just mouth and so one kid just not doing it. And then that triggers another kid. So now you got two that are, and ultimately I will kick you out of my classroom. But the ideal of me having to kick a kid out of my class just wears me out. And so I did have one of those days, well, many of those days. But I remember having one of those days, and I was so frustrated that I walked out my classroom door, and I was on the end of the hallway. I walked out the classroom door, and I just leaned against the wall, and I just slid down the wall till I was sitting on my butt with my knees up, and I just sat there. Just looking down the hallway, I just walked out, sat right outside my door, and I just sat there. And I have there was a picture window or a little long window in the door, so my door is right there. I'm just sitting there, and I see a kid's face coming, and he just kind of does like this, like, I'm going to peep out and see where she, oh, she's right there. And then I heard him say, she's just sitting out there. And I just sat there.
That's one of the times Michelle would have asked for Callie's advice. Here's what Callie would have said.
Just stick with it. Do not let these kids off the hook. She just didn't play at all with these kids. And it was great to watch because I remember one particular student. We were in the middle of the hallway between classes, and apparently an assignment was due that day. And this guy came up to her and was like, Miss Red, can I turn it in, you know, tomorrow? And she just looked at him and she said, when is it due? And he said, it's due today. And so he said, but can I turn it? She turned it in, you know, maybe tomorrow. When is it due? And the only thing she said to him was, when is it due? And he kept saying, it's due today. And finally she said, when is it due? And then she looked at me like, is he still standing here asking? And she didn't even have a discussion. When is it due? That was all she said. That is all she said to him. Not, let's talk about it. You know, what's the problem? When's it due? When is it due? It's great. So that was Callie. That was Callie. Ironically, I remember talking to Callie, and she loved teaching. Like, that was the love. And she said, I guess we were talking about retirement. She was like, I don't want to retire. She goes, I'm going to die at this desk. She said that. And I was like, Callie, that's some serious teaching right there, lady. She has she's always had this great sense of humor. And a lot of it is sarcastic, but yet humorous, so you don't know. Are you just playing with me right now? Are you being what? I started teaching in 91. In the spring of 95, I got my tenure. And I wore my hair during those first 4 years in a different style that I call it was acceptable to most people. But when I got my letter of tenure, I was like, I'm not wearing my hair like this anymore. I'm going to get dreadlocks. And so that summer, I did all I needed to do to start with dreadlocks. And they started out, and they were very, very short. The first day I walked into school, I saw Callie. I'm like, Callie, I'm getting dreadlocks. What do you think? And the style was not yet locked into dreadlocks, but it was the beginning. And kind of looks like what we call twist. Little girls, little kids would wear that hair. Black kids would wear that hairstyle. So I'm like, Callie, I'm getting dreadlocks. What do you think? What do you think? She goes, we wore that style when we were kids. That's all she said. It was like, That was like scolding. We wore that style when we were kids. I was like, Callie, though. She goes, again, we wore that style when we were kids. So she didn't like it. But you know, I was like, okay, Callie. And I wore it. My mom didn't like it either. So that's okay. There were several of us that had what we called the lunch bunch. And so we all had the same lunch at Science Hill. And so my door was here, across the hall open was Callie's door. And then if you go out my door and go to the right, there was a door that goes to the outside, an exit door, and there was a picnic table right there. So then we all would merge at that picnic table for lunch. And just, we had a blast. There were like six or seven of us. And we would go out there, and the rule was we can't talk about, you know, can't talk about administration or school or anything crazy.
Oh, really? Yeah. So what did you talk about?
We would talk about just life in general. Mm-hmm. You know, if we were talking about, what'd you do over the weekend, and, you know.
So kids, it was positive.
It was all good stuff. I don't know if every school has that or not, but I know that when we would meet, that was the highlight of our day. It was a highlight. Yeah, and we would get out there, and we worked every minute of that lunch. Kids would come out, and we're like, no, no kids. Mm-hmm. No kids. Yeah. It was, and we would bring food, and some would bring to share. And I can't remember, but somebody would bring these. I think it was Sandy Babel, actually, would bring these coconut macaroons. They were so good. I remember telling people, I just want to rub them on my cheeks. And I think I would say that every time they would bring them. But we had a blast. We did. We had a blast. It was really good. A bunch of teachers would do Halloween parades, and we would, you know, do different things during homecoming. And I remember trying to get Callie to join us because she was fun like that. But Callie wasn't about, I'm not doing that in front of the whole school kind of thing. So she would laugh with us, but she's, no, I'm not gonna do that. Last night, Sister Act was on television. I watched it, and it literally brought tears because we did that at Science Hill. So we brought our graduation. We all, as teachers, we have to wear a black cap and gown. We put on our robes, and then we all got pillowcases. Fix them on her head to look like nuns, right? Callie would have been excellent in that, just with her sense of humor and her way, laugh and all of that. So a bunch of us did that, and she was like, I'm not going to do that. I ain't going to do that. And I think I have the limit of my professionalism. And I don't think Callie would, you know, beat you over the head because of something, like with my hair. When I came in with that, and she's like, we wore that hair when we were children. We were kids. That was her way of saying, girl, that is awful. You need to get back in there and get a real hairdo.
Oh, I heard it when you said it.
Yeah, right? Right?
I heard my mother.
See? So that's that. That's Callie's unspoken words. It's just that one line, constant repetition of that line. And you need to figure out the rest. Read between these lines. You just get this one. Read between the lines. You know what I'm trying to tell you.
I called her Sister Callie. If you really wanted to know Sister Callie, she liked to cut up. She liked to cut up.
Adam Dixon went to church with Callie Redd for 25 years. He also serves as the Multicultural Engagement Manager at the Langston Center for the City of Johnson City. He and Michelle remember Callie's wit and humor.
Sunday, November the 19th, 2019, we had an event here, the opening of the Langston Center. It was a powerful day. 600 people were in the building on that day. Powerful day, period. But what made it a very special day was having the last graduate of Langston High School, Michael Young, who chaired the committee that would actually work with the city of Johnson City to create the Langston Center. And then to also have Callie Redd, who taught at Langston, and the majority of people that were alumni of Langston had her, and she was absolutely beloved. And so you had Callie Redd stand up and speak to this group of individuals.
The opening of Langston, the very first day Callie got up there, that's all you needed to know about everything in the world.
And what should have been maybe just a few minutes of brief remarks turned into about 15 or so minutes of her remembrances, but nobody was paying any attention to time because her stories were bright. Her timing was impeccable, and she had a natural humor that, as the old folks used to say, could make a dog laugh.
And do you see how she's got that interesting sense of humor? That's the thing about that. Oh, gosh, I could cry. She's just amazing. Just amazing.
So at the Langston Center, we always want to recognize what we call Langston royalty. And so many individuals that attended Langston, graduated Langston, did tremendous things in their lives and really bring a sense of prestige to this place. So as we respect the past, we always want to respect those individuals. We would not even have a building if it wasn't for those individuals. When you think about somebody like Callie Redd, she attended Langston. She graduated Langston. She wanted to give back to the community and actually taught in Langston. And it kind of puts her in a special category. Not only is she Langston royalty, but you may even want to say that she's kind of the queen of Langston in a sense, because she not only received, but she poured back in and made this space and made a valuable contribution to this space. And it seems like everything that was poured into her, she wanted to pour back into another generation. I think the proof of that is when we see some of the individuals that graduated Langston and went off to four-year college and went from there to jobs in corporate America and medical careers and such. They must have seen that fortitude, that mettle. And no doubt they knew the current circumstances before them, but they realized those qualities, that fortitude to persist, that perseverance, would certainly aid them in their future endeavors. So I think looking back 60, 70 years ago, what really gives me hope is thinking that there was a need to say, how do we take the lemons before us and still make some really rich lemonade? Sometimes you may get a little frustrated or whatever, but you're thinking through, how do we make the best before us? And again, I think that when you see the students and the achievements of the students, I think that's a testament to someone like Sister Callie's ability to, again, to persevere, persist, and move forward.
This season, we've talked to only a sliver of the Langston alumni who went on to have successful careers. But already you get the idea of what kind of character the Langston teachers developed.
She said, when you do it, this kind of a paper, you need to be able to present it. And she kept pushing me, and she made me do it. And, you know, when I look back at my career, that was the start of what I had to do the rest of my life.
After graduating from Langston, Charles went to Berea College in Kentucky. When he got there, he took a placement test. As he said, math always came easy for him, but English did not. So he didn't test very well, but he still had to take a research and writing class.
I took that course, and I remembered a lot of the things that she told me about my research paper. And I said, those things carried me through that, and people like Miss Gillespie really steered me to, help me understand that there was more to life than playing. And like I said, about the writing and stuff, there were things that she taught me that I learned from her when I was doing those, especially when I was doing the research. That carried me all the way even through graduate school. Because some of those same concepts kept, when you do research at graduate school, they have a full-blown, you have to take a full-blown course in that for. And so a lot of that, I felt like I had, I actually had an advantage because I had a foundation that carried from Langston all the way through college, and then here we were in graduate school doing the same things that I did in that paper my junior year in high school. Like I said, I spent my whole career editing and looking at other people's writing and editing it and making presentations of my own. I had several careers, but I retired as the director of contracts for the Oak Ridge operations of the U.S. Department of Energy, either explaining why something was done or selling an idea. But it really started there for English, because I was always a strong student in math, but until I got to that English class, it really didn't start to click for me. I got to be a better reader. I'm still not a great reader, so I actually enjoyed reading. And so I'm like my dad was now. I read the newspaper every day, even though I read it online. I guess the online version of the Oak Ridge newspaper and the online version of the Knoxville News Sentinel, and I read them both every day.
So after all that, if you didn't know Callie Redd personally, or Miss Gillespie, or Sister Redd, even if you didn't know her, we hope you know why it was her who spoke at the opening day of the Langston Center. You know why it was so special for her to speak that day. We hope all these stories honor her memory. We're ending today and this season with where we started, with Callie Redd in the lead.
In the 7th grade, 11-year-old. And those 6 years, I knew I had made this grade, so I made honor roll. I was in the band, believe it or not, I was a majorette for 2 years.
you for joining us for Community History 365. We hope you'll be back for the next episode. Follow the feed so you'll be notified. Downloading and reviewing the episodes helps us get the word out. Community History 365 is a production of the Langston Center Media Lab. This episode was produced by Isaac Wood and Kelvin Scott. It was written by Isaac Wood with editing assistance from Karen Sullivan. It was mixed and mastered by Kelvin Scott. Adam Dixon is the Multicultural Engagement Manager at the Langston Center, and I am your host, Karen Sullivan. A lot of good work went into the content of this episode, and we want to thank everyone involved. Thank you to the CH365 History Task Force for giving their collaboration and expertise. And a big thank you to the people who shared their stories: Charles Crow, Michelle Treese, Adam Dixon, Bobby Douglas, Johnny Russaw, and Jenny Jackson. Thank you to LEAD, Langston Education and Arts Development, and to the City of Johnson City's Parks and Recreation Department for sponsoring Community History 365. To learn more about LEAD, listen to Episode 1. Community History 365 theme song is called Feels Good to Be and comes from Audionautix.com. Community History 365 seeks to respect the past because doing so helps us recognize the present and realize the future. It's an initiative that organizes events and programming for the purposes of local history education. Thanks for listening. Until next time.